From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Homelessness can feel like it's a permanent aspect of modern society. On any given day, it's estimated there are about 10,000 of our fellow Illinoisans experiencing homelessness. That's according to the Illinois Department of Human Services. Governor J.B. Pritzker has spent multiple years of his administration trying to fight homelessness, and in July, he signed a law codifying those efforts. Some of this has been in place since 2021, namely an office focused on homelessness and a cross-agency task force on the subject. The hope is that all of it, put together, will bring down homelessness in the state and lead to better health and safety nets for people who do end up homeless. The governor said as much when he signed this legislation into law in Chicago last July.
This isn't just an economic justice issue. It's a racial justice issue, too. Homelessness is not inevitable. It's not. And it's a choice made by a society, our whole society. And as a nation, we've chosen, frankly, to ignore homelessness rather than to remedy it. But here in the land of Lincoln, we are choosing a different path.
As we've discussed on the program in the past, there have been many, many attempts over the years to help people deal with homelessness and the problems that come with it. But how successful have those efforts actually been? Where do we stand in the fight against homelessness here in Illinois? And what will it take to reach, as Governor Pritzker has called it, functional zero homelessness? We dedicated an entire hour of the program to this subject last year, and today we're revisiting that conversation. Joining me for that was Christine Haley. She has served as the state homelessness chief in the Illinois Office to Prevent and End Homelessness since not long after the office was created, back in 2021. Before that, she had worked for several years on housing issues in government and in the private sector. Also with us for this conversation was the Reverend Dwight Ford, who's executive director of Project Now, a nonprofit based in the Quad Cities that aims to address the many ways poverty affects people's lives, and part of that work includes services for people who are homeless. And finally, Jessica McCann was with us, program manager with the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. She's co-chair of the county's Continuum of Service Providers to the Homeless. Again, this conversation is a rebroadcast from last summer, so we are not taking calls live, but we do appreciate hearing your comments and your suggestions for future shows. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. All right, Christine Haley, I want to start with you, and I mentioned that figure of 10,000 fellow Illinoisans on any given day experiencing homelessness. But briefly, what is the scope of homelessness in Illinois?
So homelessness in Illinois is a solvable problem. We seek to solve the structural and policy challenges that have created homelessness, and that we understand that because it's the structures and system failures that are at the root cause of homelessness, we know that we have a way and a pathway out. So we talk about ending homelessness in our state, not reducing it, and that we know that the primary ways in which we can go about ending homelessness is around making investments in permanent housing solutions, while also building a strong safety net so that when a household does have a housing challenge, that there's a strong safety net supports available to support folks in that crisis. And we've seen communities across our state reach a point of ending homelessness for specific populations, such as veterans. So in Rockford and in Lake County, when we talk about ending homelessness, they've done so for veterans. So we want to take those models that have worked in some parts of our state and expand and invest in those models so that every family and every individual in our state can live in safe, quality, and affordable housing. I think we understand where we are in numbers based on data that is compiled by local communities and what are called our point in time counts. So every year in January, it's usually every year, communities are required to do it every other year by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, but many choose to do it every year. Folks go out and do a physical count of how many people are living outside, who are living in parks or in abandoned buildings, really look at where there are people who are living outside and do a count, as well as do a physical count of the number of people who are living in shelter or transitional housing. We then take those numbers, university partners analyze the data and make a projection to ask that how many people are experiencing literal homelessness who haven't been counted, maybe that we can't find them. And from there, we have a state count. So our most recent data is from 2022. And our point in time count data for the state of Illinois says that on any given night, about 9,212 individuals are experiencing literal homelessness. Literal homelessness means those who are outside, living in a place not meant for human habitation, doubled up, or fleeing domestic violence. That count does not include those who may be doubled up living with family and friends. But according to this count, we know that we have about 9,212 households. Of those, about 68 are individuals, and about 32% are families with dependent children. So each night we estimate that there's about 1,887 children and their parents or guardians who are living in shelter or living in places not meant for human habitation. About 18% live with a mental illness and about 12% with a substance disorder. And that's important for us to know because the dominant narratives that exist around homelessness is that people experiencing homelessness are homeless because of their mental illness or because of their substance use disorder. And we know that the majority of folks who are experiencing housing insecurity do not have mental illnesses. The majority of people do not have substance use disorders. And it's really about how we understand that lack of affordable housing is the primary driver, and a crisis is the primary driver of what can cause homelessness. Mm-hmm. That mental illness or abuse may cause people to be a little more vulnerable, but that's not the root cause.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a lot to unpack there. And I think we're going to come back to some of those individual ideas we were talking about. Big picture, 9,212 households experiencing literal homelessness in Illinois. The vast majority of those are individuals, but a third are families. And it's a minority of people who have either substance use disorder, some sort of addiction problem, or mental illness. So we're going to dive into each of those a little later, but let's get a more on the ground perspective. Jessica McCann, what are you seeing? What does that look like in Champaign County?
Absolutely. So really, it's hopeful to hear from Christine what is being put in place, as many of the issues and or solutions that we see at a ground level really do align with the state plans. And so the first cause that really aligns that I'm hearing is just the lack of access to affordable housing. Affordable housing is out of reach to individuals and families, leading to eviction. So Champaign County residents at a local level are the second most rent burdened county in the state. And so just really having that access to affordable housing is really one of the areas that we're seeing. And really to just kind of put context on a local level as well to the point in time count and what we're seeing with literally homeless individuals and families, is that we here locally have had a point in time count of 137 total homeless individuals. Just to put a picture to that, 111 out of the 137 have been living in emergency shelter. And so we're really seeing folks who maybe came upon a lack of affordable housing and have sort of gotten stuck in emergency shelter without those long-term solutions. Thankfully, here at a local level in our continuum of care, our continuum of service providers to the homeless here, we have seen a distribution of those fundings at a state level through the interagency task force. And we do have expansion of permanent housing voucher projects, as well as other projects just at a local level that do provide those housing opportunities toward long-term solutions. So again, just circling back, there really is context for on a local level, each thing that has aligned. And then, you know, another thing I would add to that is just the mass sort of fallout that we're seeing of evictions after the lift of the eviction moratorium in 2021, particularly when that lifted. So for Champaign County particularly, I find the number just to be staggering. In 2022, there were just under 2,000 evictions filed in Champaign County. And we're just really seeing the fallout of that figure right now, and our housing system really kind of being bombarded with those folks who need those housing opportunity resources.
Reverend Ford, I want to come to you, and same question, basically. We've heard the numbers now. What are you seeing? What does that look like in the Quad Cities?
Well, contextually, it depends on how we are viewing both the urban and the rural communities that we serve. We serve Rock Island County, which is more urbanized, and of course, we have Mercer and Henry County that are rural. And as we are thinking about how we see and are eyewitnesses close and proximate to people experiencing homelessness, it looks a little different in the experience, no less painful, no less injurious, but it looks a little different. If we just shake down the numbers alone, we had our latest count is 159 households that are realized as 253 individuals that are currently experiencing homelessness. And in the urban kind of space, there are routes and routines. There are passageways and places and spaces where the individuals and families would normally go. Our street teams are working at 6 a.m. to go out and engage and to check in and make sure they're not injured or hurt. And if they're ready and are able at that particular time, we start moving them through a process. And if not, we try to minister as much help and aid and assistance right where they are, fully understanding that they are free-willed individuals. Our responsibility is to remain close and proximate and co-journey help and assist in ways that we can. If we are thinking about the rural community, it's much more of the phraseology of like hidden homelessness, where we have to do much more work. There are some communities, unfortunately, believe it is a moniker of shame to say we have people experiencing homelessness. So the idea is to pretend it's not there. And so we have to do a lot of door knocking, checking in spaces where someone may give us a lead, and following up and following through till we can finally make contact and start the process with them as well. It's a shame that society would do as what Martin Berg would often say, that the principal suffering of the poor, and I can say this the same about people experiencing homelessness, is shame and disgrace. It's sort of like what Chief Haley was saying before. It is that we put a heavy burden on a character deficit rather than looking at the systems that produce and interrupt lives and disturb continuity to a point where a person becomes totally destabilized and unhoused. There has been an uptick since, I believe it has already been mentioned, about the COVID-19 era and the evictions. We did our best. We stood up an eviction diversion program that was, in our opinion, very effective. We were able to stabilize 74% of the people that were slated for eviction and take care of their debt and resource the property owner to ensure that the properties would remain on the market. We're currently about 6,000, a little bit less than 700, 6,700 units short of affordable units that are available to our community. So we wanted to stabilize life, and then we wanted to make sure that there would be a stock to ensure that others that are experiencing homelessness would have an opportunity to be housed as well. So from a 30,000 foot, that's what it kind of looks like for us. It's both realized urban and rural, complicated by COVID-19, exacerbated, still injurious, and traumatizing to individuals and families that are experiencing such.
Wow, 6,000 units of housing short, and that's in the entire area, the metropolitan area.
That's right, 6,700, and I list that because we're by state, and people experiencing homelessness really can care less about our municipality lines. They go where the help is being rendered. And so we see a lot of back and forth between Iowa and Illinois because we are a riverfront town.
All right, we are going to take a break. We will continue this conversation about homelessness when we return. We are speaking with the Reverend Dwight Ford, Executive Director of Project Now in the Quad Cities, Jessica McCann, Program Manager at the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission and Co-Chair of the Champaign County Continuum of Service Providers to the Homeless, and finally, Christine Haley, State Homelessness Chief for the Illinois Department of Human Services. This conversation was first broadcast in August of last year, so we are not taking calls live for the show today, but you can always let us know what you thought by leaving a voicemail. Our number is 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. I should mention that and every other way to contact us, it's all on our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also find links to subscribe to our podcast, or just look us up on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're listening back to our conversation from last summer about efforts to end homelessness in Illinois. Governor J.B. Pritzker has called for functional zero homelessness. There's been legislation and state programs. Among the efforts in the administration is the appointment of a state homelessness chief. That is Christine Haley. She joined us for this conversation. She works in the Illinois Office to Prevent and End Homelessness and has been there since not long after that office was created back in 2021. My other guests for this conversation were Jessica McCann, who is co-chair of Champaign County's Continuum of Service Providers to the Homeless, also a program manager at the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, and the Reverend Dwight Ford, executive director of Project Now, a Quad Cities-based nonprofit that aims to address the many ways that poverty affects people's lives. Part of that work involves services for people who are homeless. Because this conversation is on tape, we are not taking calls live during the show today, but you can let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, Christine, I mentioned at the start of our conversation this idea of functional zero homelessness. What is that exactly? What would that look like in our state's communities?
So functional zero looks like in communities that there are not individuals who are living in barns or in cars or in public parks. If communities reach functional zero, it means that people know where to call when they are at a brink of a housing crisis, and that we can prevent children and their parents, young adults and older adults, from becoming homeless in the first place. So there's an emphasis on prevention. There is a strong housing safety net so that when someone does become homeless, that there is a resource for them on the other side. So there's a technical measure for functional zero that communities use where they apply to the U.S. Interagency on Council on Homelessness to say that they've met functional zero. And it essentially means that you're housing more people every month than those become homeless every month, and that we have a very strong safety net and a housing system to be able to support people in crisis.
So I understand the technical definition, I think, mm-hmm. from what you've said, but why the caveat? Why not just actual zero homelessness?
Yeah. Well, we don't estimate that at any time that folks might not have a crisis, right? We have, when we think about emergency rooms, you need a place to go in a place of crisis. And so when there is a housing crisis that a household may have,
we want to make sure that there's a continuum of housing and services to support them. And that's going to take a shift in the way that we think about how we invest and fund homeless services in our nation. And I like to think about it in the same way that we think about school. So when someone reaches out for a resource who's experiencing homelessness, when we reach the state of functional zero, that there's one on the other side. And so thinking about public schools, so I have a second grader who is in my neighborhood public school. There are 28 children in his classroom. And if there's a 29th or 30th child and there aren't enough slots for him available, the school will open up another classroom or figure out other accommodations to make sure that that second grader is able to go to school. But we don't say that for children who are experiencing homelessness, that same second grader who might need a home. Instead, we say, I'm sorry, there's not enough capacity for a home. You're going to have to come back next year. You're going to have to try again. You're going to have to sit on this wait list until a space opens up. But what we want to do is to create a system that when a second grader is looking for a home and his parents are looking for shelter, a crisis system, that there is that crisis system that exists, and that there's a permanent housing system that exists as well, because it isn't only shelter that we need, which we definitely need in times of crisis, but also need that affordable, sustainable, quality housing so that that child can learn and grow in a safe home.
So, Jessica, what does that look like in Champaign County? Where would you say Champaign County is on the spectrum of, you know, reaching that goal, right, of having shelter beds for anyone who needs it and some sort of system to try and transition people into a more permanent situation?
I believe that Champaign County has been on the cusp of moving towards success along this continuum toward functional zero. I think where there's sort of been a wrench in the process is just a capacity issue that's come up over the past few years as homelessness in our community has expanded. So we've just seen the numbers increase as in relation I mentioned before to the eviction moratorium. And there are just ways that we know as a community that are just still growing and coming down the pipeline as far as innovative ways such as connecting healthcare to housing services and things along those lines that have just been really approved in Illinois and haven't quite made it down to the continuum level. With that said, a lot of the services along the continuum that Christine has mentioned are things that Champaign County has begun to implement over time. And it really takes that coordinated process of the continuum. In Champaign County here, we do have a coordinated rental assistance program toward homeless prevention, really on the front end of that spectrum. Since 2020, that coordination has provided over 630 households with homeless prevention rent assistance. So there's been some growth in that prevention work since 2020. And then we are seeing now the continued need for permanent supportive housing to really be moving more towards that functional zero. I think, as I mentioned before, the numbers as far as folks experiencing homelessness local in our community, the mass of those that were counted in the point in time count are really noted as remaining in emergency shelter. And as much as we know that we do need those emergency shelter beds, we really need those resources to really support folks and walk alongside them to be able to move on to permanent housing opportunities. And that's where in our community here, we're growing, but we're not quite there. We've really just received additional funding to expand permanent supportive housing. And then I think as well as continuing to educate and work on collaboration in the community so that we can move our continuum further and further towards providing more permanent supportive housing, rapid rehousing, really long-term opportunities. And that in turn will open up some of those emergency shelter beds. And so really, as Christine mentioned, it's a continuum process and sort of moving that needle a little bit further on each area of the continuum to really reach that zero. We're not quite there, but we definitely are moving in that direction.
Yeah, we just had a conversation on the program not long ago about the, I think it was Hope Village, the idea of bringing tiny homes to an area. Although there has been some, I understand, neighborly opposition to that. I mean, Jessica, from your perspective, what is the you know, if you had to boil it down to one or just a few factors of like the biggest obstacles to getting more toward this, you know, functional zero? Is it a question of money? Is it a question of space? Is it a question of NIMBYism? Where are the obstacles?
You know, the obstacles are multifaceted, and I think that they relate to a systemic issue. We know that racial disparities exist in our system, and we hear daily from clients and families experiencing homelessness that they may not have access to, you know, open units where they may otherwise have been able to access because of these just inequitabilities that we're seeing amongst housing in our community, one. And then, you know, there has been a deficit as far as funding toward permanent housing, where that is really expanding. And we're seeing that Illinois really is growing and moving toward that level where funding is provided for those more permanent solutions. And then, you know, we just have a capacity issue here as well, as, you know, Reverend mentioned, I think, just seeing folks coming in from other areas, hearing about the resources that are available in Champaign County, and you know, we're just a little overcrowded as far as having the capacity to provide the resources to everyone who needs them.
Reverend Ford, what do you think about that? What do you think are the primary obstacles to actually achieving this functional zero?
Well, much like what Jessica has explained in the experience there, I think it's similar and at some point very different. The work itself, the effort itself, I can say, you have many people that are engrossed in the effort, that are doing what they can for as many as they can, for as long as they can. But the capacity to be able to sustain and stabilize life is very difficult. When I think about our 253 individuals, we only have 62 beds of emergency status. And so that in and of it itself, even to get an individual off of a park bench, out of a bus depot, into a place, and then to be able to stabilize long enough to think about rapid rehousing or supportive housing or permanent housing and those possibilities. We are thankful for the effort, but we absolutely have our hands full. As I am concerned in the things that I have learned through the process, I will say without any equivocation that housing is the anchor of all other opportunities. When you stabilize an individual or family through the security of housing, you have a much better chance to talk about educational attainment, economic opportunities. You have a better chance of stabilizing their health or allowing them to finally be concerned about their physical and mental health. Homelessness or the experience thereof is traumatizing. It is injurious. It takes life. It steals years off of life expectancy. And unless we approach it from this reality, this is life and death. Even the opportunity to pursue levels of justice as it pertains to them. What makes the experience of homelessness and the challenges thereof and the systems that help perpetuate it is that it's not a single cause solution. We have essentially, you can't talk about homelessness or poverty for that matter without talking about race and gender. When you look at the data, it's going to become apparent that we're talking about more than just one thing. And then if you start going down the line of race and gender, you'll have to deal with the inequalities. You'll have to deal with the inequitable approach to human life. And then you'll have to trace it back to policies that are bedrocked and benched and cemented into society. I think, I believe it was Chief Haley that talked about the ways that we think, and Jessica hit on it as well. Dr. King would often say that we're wasting and degrading life, clinging to old archaic ways of thinking. He would go on to say nothing about poverty is justifiable in our age. And I think we have to be that determinate in our ways of thinking and voicing and working to ensure that we're saying this is unacceptable. This isn't the junk drawer in our kitchen. You can't walk over human life and pretend you don't see what you see and know what you know. This is unacceptable for a society that has the means to use its abundance and wealth, its abundance and wisdom and know-how to turn this in the right direction and get to functional zero.
Say more about that. We heard that in the clip from the governor, Reverend, at the beginning of the of our conversation today about, you know, the homelessness issue is a racial justice issue. You've just mentioned that. Now, say more about that. What, draw those connections out for us, if you would.
Sure. Race-based policies are still existing on state books. And if you go back to those race-based policies, they destabilize life. They put a low ceiling. Sometimes people ask, why are people not seeing more for themselves? Why don't they do more for themselves? Well, if policies that were created with intentionality have created a low ceiling, and you find yourself being generationally born into the socioeconomic basement of society where you do not have a window, you have a porthole of existence where you look out and see the footsteps of everybody else walking to their destinations, or you hear the celebrations on the floors above you. And then people are scratching and clawing and trying to climb through plywood and everything else to try to get to the next level. What we are endeavoring to do is to create enough will that will start examining the things that have perpetuated the sense of poverty, because poverty is really exploitive. And once you become locked into a certain set, people take, they pull from you, and they are more likely to see you almost as subhuman. Ergo, the violence among people experiencing homelessness has ticked up again. Once a person sees you as subhuman, they feel that they can talk to you any kind of way, push you, hurt you, arrest you, and marginalize and contain you for just having to experience homelessness and fighting to get to more stability. So race is at the base of this, and gender is something that we cannot exclude. If people have put laws into place with all intentionality, it was not a slip of the pen. We have to work, those of us that are working in this field, have to work with as much and even more intentionality to provide legal redress, a sense of activism and advocacy, and amplifying the voices of those who have lived experience and testimony and expertise of what it will take to come out of it. And that's our work at its base. We cannot exclude race from this, which is a hard conversation for our nation, let alone our states and municipalities. We cannot exclude gender, which is a hard conversation to have. The truth is that unless we are able to have these conversations, we'll be more concerned with becoming bigger as a city government rather than becoming better and growing up. I'm not interested in simply growing our economic base, as important as that is. I'm interested in society growing up and becoming more mature in the things that we must confront.
Okay, we need to take another break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Christine Haley, State Homelessness Chief in the Illinois Office to Prevent and End Homelessness, the Reverend Dwight Ford, Executive Director from Project Now, the Quad Cities nonprofit that aims to address the many ways that poverty affects people, and Jessica McCann, Program Manager with the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. This conversation was first broadcast last summer, so we are not taking calls live, but you can always email us, talk@21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're dedicating our entire program today to talking about homelessness in Illinois. The state has a goal of achieving functional zero homelessness, which basically, as we've heard, means enough shelter spaces for everybody who needs it, basically, and that there is more space available for people who need it, shelter on an emergency basis, than people who become homeless every month. Of course, there are a lot of other dimensions to this, as we've also been talking about, such as building more permanent housing options for people. We've heard there are significant shortages of available, affordable housing in communities around Illinois. We're talking about all of this with Christine Haley, the state homelessness chief at the Illinois Department of Human Services, the Reverend Dwight Ford, executive director of Project Now, a not-for-profit that works on poverty issues in the Quad Cities, including homelessness, and Jessica McCann, program manager for the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission and co-chair of the Champaign County Continuum of Service Providers to the Homeless. We first broadcast this conversation last August, so we're not taking calls today, but let us know what you thought by leaving a voicemail at 217-300-2121. I think in the time we have remaining, Christine Haley, I want to ask you, how does what Illinois is doing compare to what is happening nationally, right? We've seen other stories. The New York Times just had a big takeout on Portland, Oregon. The city does not seem like it has a very good grasp on its homeless population, you know, aiding its homeless population there. What lessons is Illinois learning as you're looking around the country at what other governments are trying?
In Illinois, our rates of homelessness are similar to the rates of homelessness in other Midwestern states like Michigan and Ohio. We see these large increases in rates of homelessness along the coasts in New York, in Washington State, Oregon, California. That's primarily driven from their housing markets and how much it costs to afford an apartment when someone is making according to wages. So we don't want to get to that point, right? We do have, although not enough affordable housing, we do have more what we call naturally occurring affordable housing in our communities that allows for us to have lower rates. And when other states are looking at states like ours, they really understand what we have as far as our naturally occurring affordable housing, but also this work that we've created under our interagency task force, our Community Advisory Council on Homelessness, and our office. So in September of 2021, Governor Pritzker signed an executive order to fight homelessness. Within the creation of our task force and that work, we have infrastructure that can help align state agencies and state resources to be able to address housing insecurity. So across the country, there are other interagency task forces that do work. I think that we have amended and looked at both the national and other state agencies and understanding how to have an effective interagency task force here in Illinois and how to advance specific strategies related to preventing and ending homelessness. Home Illinois is the name of our strategic plan to prevent and end homelessness. In this year's budget, we increased the funding for communities to address homelessness by over $85 million in general revenue and additional funding. So when we heard from Champaign and also from Reverend Ford about some of the new resources that are coming from the state, those new resources, we're investing more in shelter and we're investing more in permanent supportive housing, which is our gold standard in how to support folks who have disabilities and who have experienced homelessness for longer periods of time. We're investing in prevention. We're investing in eviction prevention resources and court-based rental assistance. So these types of smart investments that are driven by data and what the data is telling us as to where we can make those investments are ways in which we are a leader across the nation in working towards this preventing and ending homelessness in our state.
You know, I want to ask you, Christine Haley, we talked earlier, and I want to think through how I want to phrase this. You know, there are a lot of different experiences people have with homelessness, right? It could be the second grader who's, you know, has to couch surf with relatives while their family tries to get back on its feet after some, you know, unexpected tragedy or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's also, I think, when we talk about this, you know, the image people often have in their head is probably the person sleeping on a park bench or the bus depot, as we heard the Reverend say earlier. And you did mention it's a minority, but it's still potentially thousands of people out there suffering with mental illness or a substance use disorder. Maybe they're even unsafe to others in the shelter environment. And I guess one of the things I wonder about is if we're achieving functional zero, how do you make sure that those individuals don't kind of fall through the cracks? And then it's like, it's on paper, we're at functional zero, but there is this core group. Yes, there's shelter beds available, you know, on paper. They're not qualified to get into the shelters, maybe because of what they're suffering with. How do we make sure that we're reaching everyone we can? Or is there some part of the population where it's maybe too difficult and they have to, you know, I don't know, how you take it where you will.
Yeah. So everyone in our community deserves and has the right to a home, right? And I know I've talked about shelter, but what ends homelessness is housing and permanent housing and housing that is safe, affordable, and some, for some cases, there's folks who need additional in-home supports to keep folks housed once they become housed, become homeless and are in their own apartment. And that intervention, which we've talked about a few times, is permanent supportive housing. Permanent supportive housing is one of the keys that we use. It's a national evidence-based practice where a household will live in an apartment, either or a single-family home, and that they receive have a rental subsidy if they are disabled and unable to work, and that they also will have in-home services that could be a case manager. It could be a psychiatrist that comes that they might have access to if they have serious mental illnesses, that there's recovery supports. There could be child services focused on children and their needs. So I don't believe that anyone is in a place that they cannot be supported in housing. I believe that everyone can be supported in housing and that it's part of us building the safety net to ensure that we have the right services that are available, that we have funding mechanisms that exist for nonprofits to be able to provide services for folks in the home and then also in the community. So I think that how we get there is really believing in the concept of what you may have heard of housing first, right? And that we're able to ensure that folks have access to a house first, that they can become stabilized. Because if you don't have access to a home, it's hard, as Reverend Ford said, to be able to access any other resource first. So if we can house folks first, then can help them access the additional services that may be needed to continue that housing. And we've seen great success in permanent supportive housing, right, where households are able to get in PSH and then stay there and remain housed until most folks are able to stay in permanent supportive housing 6 to 8 years and then transition just to affordable housing. But some people may need it for much longer, and that permanency is an important piece of that puzzle.
Jessica McCann, we're coming to the end of our time together. What would help you and your colleagues most with what you're trying to do in Champaign? What resources do you need to make progress in Champaign County?
What I would say would be most helpful in Champaign County is really just the education and communication of existing resources and really working together as a community to debunk that stigma around what homelessness really is. As Christine had mentioned, folks who are sleeping on a park bench or who are struggling with mental illness, many of those issues can be stabilized by permanent housing, and we do have some of those available opportunities in our community. And so I think the awareness of how to get connected and just really that those resources do exist and that, you know, we are all potentially one significant health crisis away from homelessness. Really, it just takes getting that person stabilized and moved along. And then, you know, that the resources are available for supportive services, as Christine has mentioned. So we do have a plethora of those. I wouldn't say a plethora, but we do have available resources to provide those supportive services to folks. And so just really letting folks know what exists, really debunking the kind of stigma around homelessness and what that looks like, and really how to go directly to that help.
Reverend Ford, Reverend Dwight Ford in the Quad Cities, I think I want to end our conversation with you. I think for a lot of people listening today, I'll put myself in this group, our main experience with homelessness in our society is, you know, seeing people in our downtowns. Maybe they're on, in the median at an intersection. We make that decision. Do we give them a few bucks? Do we drive on and look away? What do you say? What should everyday Illinoisans be doing to help their fellow citizens who are struggling with homelessness? What would you say to them?
I'll take a threefold approach. One is that so many people are always asking questions concerning the homeless or people experiencing homelessness as, what are they doing for themselves? I would take a different thought toward that, is to ask ourselves, what are we doing in light of where they are in life? Personal responsibility should not just be narrow and myopic toward the individual who, or the family who may be experiencing homelessness, but it also has to be, pardon me, a conscious check for how do we see humanity? And if we are truly believing that we are inextricably bound in a network of mutuality, what affects one directly affects all of us indirectly. If we are coming to that better understanding, then I would say take some personal responsibility to learn more, to experience more, to find yourself with great agencies and work like Home Illinois and or our work with our friends in Champaign County with Jessica and the team there, or here at Project Now in the Quad Cities, is to be able to talk to people. When you talk to them, you'll see their smiles, you'll hear their stories, you'll learn of their effort. You'll see them leave the shelter and actually go to work. There are so many things that are misnomers and misinformation about people experiencing homelessness, which leads me to the second thought. We have to build much more public will around this. So find a group that thinks on these things, works at these things, find book clubs, film series, do everything you can to put yourself in proximity to people that are working to eliminate the reality of homelessness in our state. The third one is that we need much more better public policy. I have to commend Chief Haley and the governor's effort in this last fiscal year 24, a $350 million investment that will allow us to have more permanent supportive housing, more rapid rehousing, more shelter diversion programs. That's policy. And policy does make a difference. So I would ask that we would take a look at the policies that are being considered, voice your concerns to your elected public officials, find a way to make sure that you can give public testimony. If you're a person that has experienced homelessness or in fact are currently experiencing homelessness, tell your story to as many people that will listen and hear. And if we can build enough personal responsibility, enough public will, we'll have better public policy. Homelessness is indeed persistent. It's problematic. But as it already has been said, it does not have to be permanent. And that's our goal.
The Reverend Dwight Ford is Executive Director of Project Now in the Quad Cities. Jessica McCann is Program Manager with the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission and Co-Chair of Champaign County Continuum of Service Providers to the Homeless. And Christine Haley is the State Homelessness Chief at the Illinois Department of Human Services. Reverend Ford, Jessica McCann, Christine Haley, thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
This conversation was first broadcast last year. If you want to let us know what you thought about today's program or suggest topics for a future show, you can always email us. The address is talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org. You can find that email address and every other way to contact us on our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Today's show was originally co-produced by Kennedy Vincent. Damian Contreras is our digital producer. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.